Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
This morning, we're in a sermon series that we've called The Green Elephant. Money, the greenback, is the elephant in the room that nobody ever really wants to talk about in church. Thus, the Green Elephant series. I had some great art last week from our students. Man, they draw me pictures each week, and I invite them to draw different types of pictures of different things. They drew me some of the best green elephant pictures of the elephant getting into the room in their homes. Hey, this morning, do this. We've got our fall festival today. Raise your hand if you're coming to the fall festival. I'm coming to the fall festival. What do you think it would, where do you think the elephant would hide if he tried to come to the fall festival? Draw that. You might even want to put a costume on your elephant. Man, I cannot wait. I'm going to be here at 2:30. Isn't that right, Dan? Didn't you say 2:30? We're helping set up 2:30. I cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. So draw me a picture, the green elephant trying to hide at the fall festival this afternoon. It's going to be so much fun. I hope that you'll be praying as our neighbors from all over the community will come here, as our friends from Isle, Texas are coming this way to help serve. We found something out. We found that in order for the International Leadership of Texas high schoolers to graduate, part of their requirements are they have to have 15 hours of community service per high school year. So before they graduate as a high schooler, they have to have 60 hours of service. You know what our student ministry is beginning to think very strategically about? How can we make it easy for our friends across the street to get their requirements right here and have a great time doing it? And so we got 46 students that we know of that are coming tonight that are going to be scattered all around. Some will be helping you where you're at. Don't just sit there and look at them and go, oh, you're one of them. Go, man, get to know them. Ask them questions about their life. Engage with them. A great rail of relationship can be forged tonight. And then afterwards, we're having a football 101 for our students, because many of the students who are coming are from China, international students. They don't even know the rules of football. And so Kevin Kusunoki, one of our ministry residents, is going to be leading a football 101 in our student ministry building, explaining the rules, talking about how you win and what the scores are and all that good stuff. They'll have pizza and wings over there. And then afterwards, all the students will watch the Cowboys try to beat the Eagles. And so it should be a great, great time. So I hope that you're praying. I hope that you're engaging as the community comes on to our campus. So last week, we talked about money. We talked about money management. Especially, we talked about getting out of debt. And for some of you, you began to view debt in a brand new light. You began to see it not just as a dollars and cents thing, not just in terms of, can I qualify for the loan? Can I make the payments? See, some of you began to view debt and amassing more of it while making minimum payments on existing debt, and you begin to view your debt from a totally different perspective, from a spiritual perspective. Some of you begin to ask the questions, is debt wise? Is debt harmful? Do my spending habits reflect something? Do they reflect a certain level of greed, this drive for more and more and more? Do my spending habits reflect a lack of my faith that God is going to provide what I truly need? Am I beginning to see that I'm trusting in stuff to make me happy? Which, of course, it never, ever does, because the new always wears off. Now, some of you began to make a decision last week to get out of debt. You came up with a plan that we talked about. Number one, we talked about cutting our spending back to only what's necessary. We talked about, number two, attacking our debt with what kind of intensity? Do you remember? Gazelle intensity. gazelle intensity, paying off our smallest debts first and then moving on to our bigger debts. And then third part of the plan, some of you began signing up or are considering signing up for Financial Peace University because you know you need some help in this area. You need some people around you. You need some more information. You need some others who are going to hold you accountable and who are going to encourage you. And those classes are going to begin January the 8th on those Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. There are 9 classes, and you can get more information today. You can sign up today. Phil Waltrip is the point person who's going to be leading that. And man, he's already had some conversations. I've already had some conversations. And part of that plan is beginning to get into our viewfinder. And so, man, last Sunday was a great, great Sunday. Some real steps toward life change began to be taken last week. And today, we want us to take the next step together. If we get our financial house in order, if we get our spending under control, if we get our debts paid off, if we stop misusing our money, well, then what are we supposed to do with our money? What are we supposed to do with our money? It's a great question. But first, let's stop and let's just identify who is it that's here this morning. I think there's basically three groups of people who are in this room together today. The first group are, we'll just call that group the givers. The givers. You're currently giving some percentage of your income away. It's part of your budget. It's part of your lifestyle. It's who you are. It's what you do. And this morning, if you're in that group, I want you to listen, not just with your ears, but with your heart and your mind. And I want you to listen both as God affirms you, and yes, listen as He also challenges you to grow in this area of your life. The second group of people, we'll call them the getting your house in order group. The getting your house in order group. There's a bunch of us who are in that group this morning. We're beginning to take steps to get our houses in financial order. And it may be that right now, currently, 100% of your income is going to finance your debt and the expenses that you have week by week, month by month, your daily expenses. But last week, you made a decision. You made a decision to get out from underneath your debt with gazelle-like intensity. We began to see in Proverbs 6, 1 through 5, it's not wise to be in debt. We want to run from debt like the gazelle runs from the cheetah, runs from the hunter. But maybe you're a student right now in this season of life, and right now you're living off of ramen noodles and more ramen noodles. And that's just where you are. And yet, you've got this real desire to get your house in order financially, not to be upside down crazily in debt during the season of life that you're in. And when you come out of that season, you're just overwhelmed with debt. Well, today, if you're in group two, we're going to shine the spotlight a little bit further on down the road for you. We're going to highlight where God is taking you sooner rather than later when it comes to your finances. Now, there's a third and final group that's here this morning. We're just calling this group the mortgaged up to the eyeballs with no plan on how to get out of debt group. And maybe you're going, that is so me. Mortgaged up to the eyeballs. No plan, just feeling the weight. Man, you're living on credit. You're drowning in your debt. You're living way beyond your means. Your expenses way exceed your income. And some of you, you've lived this way for so long, that's just become the norm for you. Or you are holding so tightly to the little bit that you do have You're holding on with such a tight grip. There's no room for God to begin to work in your life, work in your finances. If you're holding so tightly, you trust you more than you trust God in this season of life. At least that's what your actions are saying. Maybe you're holding on so tightly because you're Ebenezer Scrooge and you're just greedy and miserly. Welcome to church. We're glad you're here. I don't think that's most people who are in group three. I just think most people in group three are scared to begin to let go and invite God in. Because you don't know really what would happen if you started to trust Him, and maybe you honestly find your security in your bank account. Listen to me. If that's you, nothing I say today is going to make any sense to you. Nothing I say is going to make any difference in your life. And you won't do one thing about what God says in His Word unless you first make the decision, I am going to trust Him and I am going to take a step to get my financial house in order. So I'm asking you, group three, if that's you, would you listen with an open heart and mind? Would you listen as God paints a picture through His Word of the kind of person that He's created and longs and believes that you can become? Who does get their financial house in order. This can be you. You can be that person who's living with a healthy margin between your income and your outflow, between what's coming in and your expenses that are going out. You can begin to take steps to become that kind of person who Dave Ramsey calls a hilarious, generous giver. You can do that. That can be you, and it can be you sooner than you may give yourself credit for. But you have to choose to take some specific steps. You can't wander into group one if you're in group three. Please listen carefully this morning. And now let's all listen together as a prophet of God, a true prophet of God, speaks right out of God's Word. Turn with me in your Bible to the last book in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. It's going to be on page 802 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning in the Home Life Center, and I'll give you a Bible to call your own. So open your Bible, turn on your Bible, open your app on your phone or whatever, however you read the Bible. Malachi 3, or as someone once said, Malachi, the Italian prophet. He was not an Italian prophet. It's Malachi, okay? Malachi chapter 3, and here's what it says. Malachi chapter 3, we're going to begin in verse 7. We're going to look at verses 7 through 10 this morning, and it says this, Malachi 3, verse 7, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says who? The Lord of hosts. This isn't some man saying this. This is the Lord of hosts saying this through the prophet Malachi. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. That is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, what a powerful and challenging word and promise from the Lord to his people who really do want to follow him. And you know what? I believe that the people in this room really do want to follow the Lord. There's too many other options for you to go follow after. For you not to want to follow the Lord, get up on a Sunday and come into this place. I believe you're here because you do, deep down, want to follow the Lord. He's going to chart a course on how to do that for you this morning. Look again at verse 7 with me. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Well, it's good to know the context of what's happening when these words are being spoken from the Lord through the prophet Malachi. The context of Malachi is that the people of God had turned away from God. Their heart's affection toward the Lord had begun to cool off. Their devotion had begun to wane. Now, God, hear me on this, because we can connect with this. God was still a part of their life. He just wasn't the center of their lives. The foundation, the plumb line, not the most important part of their life. And the commandments of God were seen more as suggestions from God, which mostly were ignored. The people in that day had become a sexually promiscuous people. Does that sound like today? It's a word for us today. And so this prophet, what he's doing is he's charting a course for the people who've fallen away, who've drifted. Here's how you can return. He lays out a plan for his people who've drifted away from God so they can come back to God. Look at verse 8 and how the course that God charts begins to unfold. He asks a hard question. Will man rob God? You are robbing me. But you say, have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? Okay. Stop robbing God. That's it. Amazing. Failing to give God the tenth, that's what tithe means. It means tenth. That verse could mean, could be translated, stop robbing God of the tenth. You're telling me, God, that's the root cause of spiritual drift? Seriously? Yes. So says the prophet of God and the word of God. I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there going, come on, David. Surely you're not saying that failing to give the tenth to God is the same thing as robbing God. I mean, listen, Pastor, just because I don't always put something in the plate or give online, it doesn't mean that the police are going to come in and arrest me for breaking and entering. It's not like I'm stealing stuff out of the plate when it passes by. Give me a break. Think about it with me for a minute. Is failing to give God the tenth the same thing as robbing God? Well, think about it. Did God create everything, yes or no?
Yes.
I believe he did. Does God own everything, yes or no? The word of God says that he did. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And here's what God chooses to do. God chooses to share with you 90% of what He blesses you with. And He chooses to retain from you 10%. So He blesses you with 100% of what you have. He says, I want to leave 90 in your care, and I choose for you to return 10% back to my causes, back to my work, back to my church. Now, I suppose God could have chosen to set it up differently. He could have chosen just, instead of giving you 100, just go ahead and give you 90, make the direct deposit into His church, and so it's from you through the church. He could have done that, but He didn't. Instead, he chooses to funnel the money that supports His church and the gospel and the ministries through His people, His followers. And He tells us, we just saw it in Scripture, He tells us to make those deposits directly into the church through the tenth, through the tithe. And to fail to do so, according to what God says, is taking or retaining what simply is not ours. It's robbing God of what He says belongs to Him. And robbing God of the tenth, please hear me, it will derail your relationship with Him. It will. It causes spiritual drift. Let me illustrate this for you. Raise your hand if you're a parent. Yeah, several of you. Praying for many of you who long to be parents. But if you're a parent, if you're going to be a parent, let's just assume you're going to be a responsible parent, okay? You're going to provide your kids a roof over their head, clothes on their back, food in their belly, and you're even going to be a great parent. You're going to bless them beyond the necessities, and you're going to get your kids soccer shoes and an allowance and gymnastics fees, maybe a new video game. But let's say that in spite of all that you provide your kids with, you still notice every week that some money ends up missing from your wallet. $5 this week, $10 the next week, $20 the week after that. And not only that, you as the parent begin to notice there's stuff that's starting to miss, not be there anymore. Laptop's gone, TV's gone, guitar's gone, your coin collection's gone, and you're just sitting there scratching your head going, what in the world? And let's just suppose that one day you're in your kid's room. By the way, it's not their room, it's your room because you're the one that's paying for it. And you begin to see something in the top drawer behind the book, pawn shop receipts. Let me tell you something. If that was you, you'd feel drift in your relationship with your kids. Yes? Man, yes. Yes. You'd feel betrayed. You'd feel used. You'd feel played. You'd want to know, why have they been robbing you? You'd ask them, are you just that greedy for more stuff? Are you that discontent with what you already have? Are you hoarding the proceeds and saving them in a separate bank account because you don't believe that I'm going to feed you next week? I'm telling you, that kind of theft would impact your relationship with your child. It would cause drift in the relationship. I'm not saying you'd disown your child, but it certainly would send up some major red flags that something is not right in this relationship. It would signal things aren't healthy and growing strong in our family. That's the way God feels when we rob Him of the tithe. It signals a major breakdown in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's a huge warning signal that things are just not right. It tells us there's still some greed at work. There's some discontent at work. There's some lack of faith in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. When you hoard what God provides you with, you are setting up the expectation by your very actions that God is not really going to keep providing for you. And you really do need to just look out for number one. And if God is your Heavenly Father, can I just tell you? Are you just His kid? Who's afraid when it comes to money? It really is your green elephant in the room, isn't it? It's the green elephant in your relationship with your Father in heaven. And if the robberies continue, this prophet of God reminds us that we will drift. We'll drift further and further away from God. Our love for God will begin to cool more and more. Our obedience to the commands of God will be compromised. And though God probably will remain a part of our lives, He will become less and less the center of importance. Look what it says in the text. I hate to keep bringing up the Bible. But if we say we believe it, we might as well read it, yes? Let's look what it says about where we are when we rob God of the tithe in verse 9 and where we could be if we'll walk the course marked out for us the course starts with returning back to God. Look what it says in verse 9. You're cursed with a curse for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So we've talked about for the last few minutes what not to do. Don't rob God. Now these verses right here tell us what to do. Do this. If you want to get back on track with God, do this. So, group one, the giving group, the prophet Malachi was inspired by God to tell you, keep doing what you're doing. Keep giving. Group two, if you're in group two, the getting your financial house in order group, the prophet Malachi just laid out for you a plan to begin moving forward. Malachi just told you the primary reason that you're getting your house in order in the first place. It's so that you can become a hilarious, generous giver. Now, group three, the mortgage to the eyeballs with no plan for how to get your financial house in order group. If that's you, the prophet Malachi just told you that God deeply cares about your mortgaged eyeballs. He really does. God doesn't want you to stay there feeling like you're underwater drowning. He's speaking to you in this text this morning. He's calling you, group three, to take a step toward group two. To make sacrifices that are going to be necessary to get your financial house in order. To cut your expenses. To attack your debt with gazelle-like intensity. To begin to loosen your grip on your bank account. Because God ultimately doesn't want you in group two. Ultimately, guess where He wants you? In group, say it with me, one. That's what He created you for. Group one, to be a hilarious, generous giver. Now, don't miss the strategy for becoming a hilarious, generous giver. It starts with the very first word in verse 10. Check this out. Bring. You know what bring in the Hebrew means? To bring. That's what it means. It implies involvement, investment, attendance, participation. Check this out. Bring doesn't mean send. Doesn't mean send your money. You know, what are you talking about? Anybody ever had a kid go off to college? They get to college. If they call you, what are they wanting? Don't bring. Send. Because if you bring, that means you show up and you see the squalor I'm living in. You can open my mini fridge and see what's in there. You can see if I'm cracking the books or trying to crack the code on the video game. So send, don't bring. Let's try that again. So send, don't bring. Don't bring. Just send. I mean, no, if your kid calls you while these are, or she's off at college, it ain't to talk. It's to send. Send, don't bring. It's really funny. It's just the opposite of what God's calling us to do. God says, bring. Don't send. Bring. Watch this. When you start to bring, Satan comes along. You may not even have started to bring. You're just thinking about it, and Satan's already whispering to some of you, God doesn't really mean bring. He just means send. Just send the money. And then Satan loves to convince people of this lie. You sure are sending a lot of money. And you know the church really doesn't care about you. They just care about your money. Come on, do you really believe that? How many of you have been in the hospital the last 6 years since I've been the pastor here? Do you think before I came to visit you or one of our staff came to visit you, we went down to the business office and said, George, pull up their giving record. Let's see here. Okay. I'll go visit. How many of you had a kid in the Rapo Road Kids Nursery over the last 6 years? Anybody? A few of you? Yeah? Your kid starts crying. Before you pick that kid up, check their giving record. Mm-mm, let them cry. Come on. You serious? I don't look at what anybody gives beyond our staff. That's between you and the Lord and our stewardship committee. There's good accountability. But I don't want to pastor you any differently based on what you do or do not do. That's my own conviction. You don't really buy that lie. They just want your money. You don't really buy that lie that God just wants you to send it. Because God's pretty clear on this subject. He doesn't mince words. He says, bring it. And he wants you to bring it because he wants you to bring all of you. He wants you to bring yourself. He wants you to bring your devotion to him. He wants you to bring your desire to know him and the power of his resurrection. And you may be sitting there thinking, So am I not doing what God wants me to do when I give online and hit send? As a matter of fact, it's the church is leading me to fail by even giving me the option. I mean, if they want me to bring, why are they even giving me the option to hit send? It's a great question. Hold on. Let's remember what God is after in the first place. Your money or your life? Your life. and what God's Word, is about are not a bunch of rules to keep, but a heart to have. If you're reading them the other way around, you're viewing your dad in heaven as a rigid taskmaster and not a dad who loves you. Is your heart fully engaged when you hit sin? If it is, you're bringing. Is your heart fully engaged when you're budgeting and you're working through your expenses and that first bit goes and it gets moved in that way? You're bringing. Because you know what you can do? What you can do is this. You can bring offering plate. I'm bringing my money. Oh, man. It's not about a bunch of rules to keep. It's about a heart to have. Let me just stick this in here and see how Jack does it. It's not about rules to keep. It's about a heart to have. And if you're sitting at your computer and you hit send and it's out of a heart that's bringing all of who you are, you just brought it. And if it helps you to print out that little receipt and physically bring and put that in the plate to remind you that you're bringing all of who you are, do that. And what God says is this. He says, look in chapter verse 10. Don't miss this. He says, bring the full tithe. The full tithe. The entire tenth. It's so easy. It's so easy for us to just settle for tipping God. Easy for us to settle for that. But the entire tenth means all. Not just what's left over at the end of the month, if there's anything left over at the end of the month. And group one, the givers are sitting there thinking, wow, the entire tenth? I mean, I'm currently giving 4% of my income. I'm a giver, but I'm not a 10% giver. Hey, if that's you, I'm proud of you. Keep growing. Malachi is just telling you what God says and that he intends to stretch you. God intends you to continue cutting back on your expenses even more. God still desires for you to grow in that area of giving. Group two, if you're in group two, the getting your house in order group, some of you are thinking, tenth, as in 10% of my income, that's a lot. It is a lot. It's a whole lot. And it's going to require incredible sacrifice on your part. Dave Ramsey in his Financial Peace University talks about specific steps you can take, strategies you can implement in your life. If you don't think you're going to get there on your own, which you're probably not, you need to sign up for Financial Peace University. Cost you about $93 if you do it online. And get the kit and be a part of the classes that start January the 8th, Sundays, from 4 to 6. And you can move forward. You can move forward in what God is leading you to do and who he's leading you to become. That group three, the mortgage to the eyeballs with no plan for ever getting out of debt crowd. Some of you are thinking, 10%? You're joking, right? 10% of my check? What are you smoking, Pastor? That's never going to happen. Listen. I know from where you sit right now, you're sitting there feeling like 10% of your income just looks like a mountain that's way too high even to begin to approach. But if you will move from group three toward group two, if you'll get into a resource like Financial Peace University, if you'll begin to attack your debt with gazelle-like intensity, God, check this out, God will begin to do some things in your life that makes the impossible begin to seem more possible. Actually, you know what God knew besides everything? God knew that 10% would be a constant struggle for us, that we would be tempted to just give part of the tenth, but not the full tenth. So he just clarifies right up front in verse 10, give the full tithe. Give the full tenth. When you go to Walmart and put your groceries on the conveyor belt and the cashier at the end says, $150, debit or credit, you don't sit there and go, I'll give you 20. You give the fullness of it, right? Or they call security. But if you walk out and somebody walks up to you and goes, hey, buddy, I got a brand new Rolex watch. Gold, diamond encrusted. Cheers for 150. You kind of sit there and go, I'll give you 20. And some of us view God as the merchant in the parking lot going, he's asking for 10. I'll offer 5. God's thinking they'll offer 5. My operating expenses for that person's only 3%. I'm getting a 2% windfall. No, that ain't how God thinks or works. If you're sitting here going, God, offering plate's coming. I got 20. Take it or leave it. 20, 20, 20. Take it or leave it. You better tell me now. Offering plate's coming. Take it or leave it. $20. It's yours. You don't want it. God's going, just keep it. I don't need your money. I want you to bring your heart. Bring. He's a dad who longs to give good gifts to his kids. And when you trust your dad in heaven with bringing the full tithe, man, he takes it as a blessing test. Check this out, and we'll wrap up. Verse 10, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. That is my favorite part of the text. See, when you give God the tenth, yes, you are funneling God's resources into his church, cooperating with his global funding strategy. Yes, you are keeping in your heart and mind a much-needed check on this desire for more and more and more, but you're also doing something else that's huge. Listen up, group 3. You're inviting God into your finances. And your financial situation plus God equals a miracle. Do you hear that, group 3? Because that's what it's going to take for you ever to fully tithe. A miracle. And it's God telling you, take a step toward getting your financial house in order. And God immediately will begin arranging your miracle. What's it going to look like, Pastor? I have no idea. I just trust my dad. Because he's never lied, nor has he ever not come through on his promises. And some of us in the room have just ignored God's command to tithe. You've never even approached levels of giving away 10%. Let me just ask you something. I don't mean to be a smart aleck. I'm just being real with you. How's that working out for you? How's it working out for you trying to live on the 100 instead of the 90? Odds are, if you do not give away 10% of your income, there is no check on your desire for more and more. And if that is indeed the case, then most likely what's happening, you're probably going deeper and deeper into debt every year. You've probably got more bills than you do income. You're probably owing or financing more things than you currently can actually pay for. And to top it all off, you probably fight more about money than anything else in your family, and it puts you in a sour mood every time you have to pay your bills, and you really resent sermons like this. Why are things going so badly for you financially? Why doesn't all your stuff satisfy you fully? I'll tell you. Because you've moved God out of your finances. And your financial situation minus God never will equal financial peace for you. It's always going to equal financial frustration. And so some of you this morning need to begin inviting God back into your finances. So what should you do in the 60 seconds we have left? Look on the end of your row if you would. There's two pieces of paper. There's a little card and there's a little resource tool like this. Would you pass those two things down? The little resource is called monthly cash flow. I'll do it with my card. We gave you a resource last week that was very, very simple to help you in basic budgeting. This is just another resource from DaveRamsey.com to help you organize a monthly cash flow plan. Take it, use it, help you get some strategy, some game plan as you're heading toward the next group. And then would you just take this little simple tithing commitment card? I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. Isn't it interesting? You're going, do you remember when we gave you an opportunity to give this morning? Was it before or after this sermon?
Before.
You know why we did it before? Because if we gave you an opportunity to give right now, many of you would do it out of guilt. That translates sinned. What I'm asking you to give is a commitment. Will you either grow toward the tide? That could mean you're at zero and you're moving to 0.1. Or you're at 3 and you want to move to 5. Or toward 6, 7, 8. Maybe you're at 9 and you need to mark that second box. I'm going to make a commitment to tithe, 10%. How much? Work through these little table talk questions. Because one of the questions is, how much would the full tithe be for you if you did bring it to God through the church? Discuss with your family what the specific amount of 10% would be if you included the gross sum of your income and compensation that is present within your family unit. Identify the specific amount and then pray about a plan to begin bringing the full tithe over the coming weeks, months, and or years. So it's not just, what did God say to you today? It's very specific. What's 10% for you? And God's going, that's the full. And some of you are already there. And I want to invite you to make a commitment to give beyond the tithe. Can I just tell you, that's where our family is at. And all that we give does not go to God through the church. Some of it goes to other organizations outside the church, to missionaries, to other mission endeavors. But the 10% at least goes to God through the church. Will you make a commitment? And before you leave this morning, would you just put your name? Would you put your contact information on there just so if I want to send you an email or call you? And would you just lay it on the altar? If you lay it on the altar, I will pray over your financial situation over and over and over again. We're out of time, but we're just starting to bring.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.